for one, welcome our new gentlemen, overlords.
Who?
Now that's a team I can work with.
I love it. I love bringing people together.
How we doing?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gentlemen Overlords. I'm Andrew.
I'm Max.
I'm Robert.
And fellas, what's up? How are we doing?
Hey, doing pretty good.
All right. Love to hear that, Robert. I'd also love to hear some movies that you have seen. Robert, what movies have you seen?
I recently watched the 2023 comedy Bottoms.
Oh, I do want to see this real bad.
With Rachel, I apologize if I don't know how to pronounce this, Sinat, Ayo Adebiri. There are a bunch of other folks in there. Havana Rose, Lou, Ruby Cruz.
Marshawn Lynch.
Really? Stole the show, a la Ken and Barbie, or Sean Lynch in a female-centric comedy. The dudes are doing it right.
The dudes are getting it back, finally.
Finally. God, feature a man. Like, it's good when a movie has finally a man in it. No, of course, he's really good in it, and I think he's probably doing some ad-libbing. They're picking the best takes and stuff like that, but he's very funny. He's mm-hmm. I hope, if anything, he gets to do some little bit parts like this, you know, more often in movies, because it's fun stuff. But I really enjoyed it. It is ridiculous. The, like, logic of the movie is very silly at times, almost bordering on cartoonish by the end. But I think it's, you know, embracing that, which I really like. It's not like, you know, Walk Hard levels of
sure.
kind of, you know, craziness, but it's hovering, it's in the orbit, it's really fun. Like you said, you want to see it, so I won't say too much, but it's a funny concept, and it's just I don't know, it's kind of a breath of fresh air while still feeling like if all of this had been a little bit more societally acceptable and you know, translatable to film at the time, this totally could have been like an 80s kind of, you know, horny comedy. Like mm-hmm. there's no reason it couldn't have been. But I really enjoyed that, so I recommend that. I checked the list, and I don't think I had seen this since we talked the last time, but I've seen Dune 2. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it twice now.
Wow.
In theaters, both times IMAX, one time at Thornton Place, which has an IMAX screen, mm-hmm. but not a true IMAX, and then the second time at the believe the true IMAX at Seattle Center.
Wow.
One of the few in the country. Loved it. Highly recommend seeing it in theaters. Highly recommend seeing it in an IMAX theater if you can. Even if it's a LIMAX and it's not the true screen size that you needed.
Robert, say no more. On this podcast, we are very familiar with LIMAX.
Yeah, 100%. Max lying to himself about what season of Boardwalk Empire is on.
I noticed that you have not compared it to other things. You've only seen IMAX, so I don't know how you can, like, say.
Yeah,
you
what I'm saying is,
like,
what I'm saying is, like, I might see it on like my phone at some point.
There
yeah, actually, this
you
is better.
This, you haven't been
actually,
able
this
to
is
compare
better.
It yet. Yeah.
But it is, the sound is piercing you. It is like the sounds of the worms and mm-hmm. the like
you
rumble
know,
and
you
the
know,
base of everything is
you,
so
you know how much I like being pierced by the sound of worms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. That's when a worm like thing pierces you, nothing better. In my opinion. No, it really is incredible. And I think it's like it's kind of unrelenting. I mean, I love the first one, and it kind of ends on a note where you're like, damn, it feels like they're just getting going. I can't wait. Now the second one is out. You can immediately jump into it. It is triumphant. It is so, it is really something special. Some really cool new characters. The soundtrack actually is still does the same, some similar notes and things from the first one, but I feel like it goes in a new direction and kind of creates new themes that make it unique. It's not just like, oh, this is the theme, this is the Dune theme again. It doesn't do just that. It has all sorts of nuance, and I really appreciate that. I just can't say I got enough good things about it. I actually, one of those movies I will probably try and catch again in theaters if I can before it's fully out, just because I think it'll still be great at home. But if you can see it at a theater, you know, comfortably, I so recommend it. It is really something else. I loved it.
I've been wanting to see it, and like, you know, people have been like raving about it. I think the thing that put me over the edge of like, I gotta go see this movie in theaters is the fact that Mitch from Doughboys didn't like it.
Well, legally, I can't speak to that because I could get in trouble. Those are, and I think a lot of movie opinions are subjective. But I think that the Dune 2 is objective.
Yeah, this is
really a good movie. And has Mitch said anything bad about it? I don't know. Actually, I'm actually not sure if that's what's happened or not. But if so, I hope he'll watch it again, which he might have already done and given it the same rating. And then in that case, I hope he watches it a third time and has the correct opinion this time.
And then it's like a Jay Sherman review where he says, it stinks, it stinks, it stinks.
Andrew, you're going to get me in trouble. I guess I'll just say that, like, obviously people can like whatever the fuck they like.
Yeah.
But I think there are just like some things about this movie where it's like, I don't find it boring. Like, I think I just find it captivating from start to finish. If anything, I feel like it feels like nonstop, kind of unrelenting in a lot of aspects. It's just like keeps going and you're just like locked in. I mean, you guys know me, when I'm in a movie and I love that world and I love everything they're bringing to the screen, I cannot spend enough time in it. It can't be too long. It's good. There are movies, maybe even the movie we're talking about today, that are relatively short and feel interminably long. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, it when it's a pleasure to watch something like that, you're just, it'll end 3 hours, almost 3 hours will have passed, and you'll be like, I wish I had more. So I cannot recommend it enough. Let me move on.
Before you get fired.
Before I get fired. You know what? I'll just mention I rewatched the Lego Batman movie because they were covering that on
Newcomers,
Lauren Lapkus and Nicole Byers podcast. A pleasure to rewatch that movie. Love that follow up. Technically the follow up to the Lego movie, since the second Lego movie didn't come out until after.
Did you also watch Batman v Superman when they talked about that?
Of course. I would always do my homework. No, I don't need to watch that again. I know how bad it is. Lego Batman, great. I mean, I think we reviewed it on the show. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent film. It's funny in the meta Batman ways and the funny meta Lego ways. The only thing I don't like, and I think I complained about at the time, is that it's also like the love interest is Barbara Gordon, who's his, cohort in the police department. And I just never loved that aspect of some of the Batman stories that he hooks up with, like his buddy's daughter, but that's a small thing. And it's also like, it's not a huge factor in the Lego movie as far as like a romantic relationship. It's more like he has a crush on her and then wants her to be a part of his life and kind of stuff like that. So obviously more tame. These are my hot takes on the Lego Batman.
I don't want to like get too far in the weeds in this, but like, I genuinely don't know that about Batman stories, that he has like a romantic thing with Barbara Gordon.
Not in it. I would say it's not the norm.
No, but I think it
is an aspect of some of the stories that there is that, and it's not, it's weird to me.
Based on his, it feels a little groomy, you know, like it feels a little groomy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's maybe my issue with it. These are comic characters and it's whatever. People will roll their eyes, but it is still like a weird thing to be like, it's already dubious that you're, you know, essentially adopting these kids and then, you know, conscripting them into your war on crime. And then I would think it's extra bad if you're also hooking up with them. Yeah. Not the normal Batman story, but it is aspects in some of them. So that's my only bummer, where he's kind of like oh, when he sees her, and it's like, what if you were just, what if that just didn't happen?
Yeah,
that would be cool too. So that's my mind thing. I think that's basically what I've got for movies.
Max, what about you?
Against your advice, I watched Jurassic World Dominion.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, is Dominion the second or third one?
The sixth. Third Jurassic World movie, the sixth Jurassic Park franchise movie. Yeah, I didn't like it, but
you don't say.
I didn't hate it as much as I kind of expected to going into it. I do think way too much fan service and the wrong kind of fan service, where it's just, hey, look at this thing again, rather than like expanding on any of it. Just, you know, characters that come in dressed how they were dressed 30 years ago or something. Not loving that whole part of it. It's kind of weird how they separate the two casts too. So they bring back like Ellie Sattler, Alan Grant, and the other guy, Ian Malcolm.
Ian Malcolm.
And then they introduce, you know, the new character, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Christopher Pratt.
Christopher Pratt.
So formal.
Yeah. And I don't know their characters' names because, you know, why would you? But
you don't remember Owen Grady?
Owen Lars?
Owen Grady. Grady.
Yeah, it's Owen Grady. Claire Deering. Come on.
Yeah.
Claire Deering. How could you forget that?
I liked the new guy. What was his name? Roman or something? Ramses. He was from Peanut Butter and
what?
Excuse me?
What's the rapper one? The money.
The money.
Patty Cake.
What?
Patty Cake with a dollar sign. And he was her DJ, I think. Am I wrong about this?
What a pull.
You're taking us on a ride. So, I mean, you could be absolutely right about all of this, and I would have no idea.
They made that band, right? PB&J. And it was their grandmother, right? Am I wrong about this? Anyways.
I haven't seen Patty Cake, so.
One thing I will say about this movie, I kind of wish there was more of the like Han Solo-ish pilot. What was her name? Let me look her up.
Oh, yeah.
DaWanda Wise. She was like the pilot that smuggled them into like Corsica or wherever the fuck they were, or Rome, wherever, when the raptors get out. But I liked her, and I was like, this is kind of fun. I wish it was like about her character. She's sort of like a scoundrel character, and I kind of liked it. And she kind of gets, you know, pushed to the back because they have all the oldies come back. So.
Yeah. Anyway, it was the guy who's from PB&J. Mamadou Athi, I think is his name, and I'm probably butchering it. But yeah, Patty Cakes, and then his character, Bastard, and then their grandma, whatever her name is, that starts with a J, were called PB&J. Anyways, I think he does a good job in this movie. I think that Chris Pratt puts his hands up towards dinosaurs way too many times. I think you might have even mentioned this.
This is upsetting to me that like he trained raptors from birth and was able to like set up a sort of signal system to try to sort of control them. Couldn't really. They would still like snap at him and he'd be like, oh shit, this is actually dangerous. Now apparently it's a thing where like just dinosaurs know this.
Well,
and you can put your hand up and kind of put it towards them, and the dinosaur won't, I don't know, just bite it because you're offering them flesh.
Like, wasn't it that like some of them were enhanced with like Blue's DNA, and that was kind of like,
there's no way there's like, there's no way is it in a world where dinosaurs are cloned, but look, there's no way there's like generational DNA where they're like, huh, I know this
the
is
hand.
A thing. Yeah. There's just no way.
Look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And so if he hadn't put his hand up, who knows? They might have just eaten him straight away.
I want
away.
The deleted scene where he goes, hold on, hold. And he puts his hand up and then like, like a chicken bone in Heathcliff just like bites it. And it's just like,
pure
just
point,
like, you know, the rounded, you know, the rounded end. It doesn't even look like the end of a hand. It just like, you know, it looks like you bit off a turkey leg.
Clean off the bone.
Clean off the bone.
Yeah.
It's like a fish bone from...
I think they really wasted the opportunity of, you know, like dinosaurs are in the real world and they barely have anything like that.
For the most interesting parts are when you see how dinosaurs are sort of accidentally integrating into the world, but it's done during a like a Dodo style like internet news update where it's like, here's a little YouTube update, folks. Yeah. It's like, and this should be never not talked about. This should be like the only thing that's on the news is that like, hey, it sucks that like we're constantly having our kids picked up by pterodactyls and flown away. Like,
but check out this friendship between a velociraptor and his trainer.
Now we know pterodactyls live in the middle of the heart of San Francisco and they're constantly attacking us, but here's a little fun happy piece for, a little fluff piece for everyone.
That's but you know ridiculous. What? At least it lowered rent in San Francisco.
Hey, that's true. Hey, thank God.
Then they immediately go into like underground dinosaur fighting rings where the people, like the criminals that are like meeting together in old warehouses and just like hanging out and fighting dinosaurs and stuff like that. This is so, like, that's such a stupid idea of the criminal underbelly.
I also really hate that this is more of a an ancient bug movie than an ancient dinosaur movie.
Yeah, that was the thing that really bothered me. Is that
I don't want to see big-ass fucking grass. Like, fuck that. Yeah, I don't want to see that shit. Get out of here.
Barely dinosaurs in it. It is mostly a movie about, like, corporate overreach and cicadas. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah, they had some really weird plot things. And, like, cloning, that whole cloning thing didn't need to happen. And it's like a
character. I mean, they brought that up in number two, so they felt like they needed to keep doing it for number three.
They really didn't. But, yeah, anyways, still, I, like, thinking back on it, it's really dumb. But, like, just watching it, it was fine. It was, I didn't, like, hate it. I just think it, you know, could clearly have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. And maybe some of these... Let's see. I also watched Batman Ninja. I went back and finished the whole
thing.
That, I would say that was worse than Jurassic World Dominion.
Wow.
In my opinion. It was weird because it felt racist against Japan, but it's made by like two Japanese companies. But it like
could still be racist against Japan.
It's true. But like, yeah, watching it felt like a 5-year-old's imagination after watching two anime like shows that they were really into. They were just like, okay, Japan is all about giant robots and Japan is all about yelling stuff. I don't know. It was pretty disappointing. There was like a couple parts that were kind of neat to see, like how you would, you know, translate a character into classic Japanese. It's also like very interesting how it compares to the Turtles 3 movie we watched, because it's Batman traveling back in time to ancient Japan. And like all the Batman villains going back. But then they like,
that would be a crazy concept for a movie to review, in my opinion.
But they like in this one, all the villains take over like a prefecture of Japan. They each have a castle and the castle morphs into a robot.
Spoilers.
I'm just going to spoil it. Cause don't watch it. Like, So Gorilla Grodd is the one who transports them back. He has an army of monkeys that is dressed in like samurai armor and they all climb on top of each other and make a giant monkey to fight the castles that are robots. And then later a bunch of bats come together from Batman and form a giant Batman to fight all these things. Just like it keeps going and not in that good way of like, it's really topping itself. It's like, you already did this. Are we done with this yet? It was like a bad idea already. Why are you doing it again? But anyways, yeah, when the credits came on, it was a bunch of Japanese names. I was like, oh, weird. They did this to themselves? That's strange. This is a gnarly movie. So I don't recommend watching it. But, and then to really like tie it into the Turtles going back in time, I watched Batman and the Ninja Turtles. This movie is fantastic. This is an animated one. It is so great. It's also the best depiction of Donatello I've ever seen, I think, in my opinion. I've gone through phases.
Wait until we talk about Turtles 3.
Yeah, actually, don't give me too much. Hold that back.
Up to that point is the best I've ever seen. No, like the other Turtles have rotated out. Each one has been my favorite at one point, and Donatello hasn't really ever filled that spot for me. But this is the most like relatably nerdy Donatello, where he's just kind of like pointing out
again. I would say wait until we talk about Turtles 3, because you know he had pretty spot on his nerdiness in a certain line. So
I think he does machines a little bit. So
Yeah. But I recommend watching this one. It's very fun.
It is really fun.
If you're a Ninja Turtles fan, it's really cool. You know,
it's fun to see Batman fight Shredder. It's fun to see, like, because like that is like the whole thing with like Batman. It's like he's a ninja. Like his most of his training came from the League of Shadows. So it is fun to be like, it's a good team up. It feels weird to have like Ninja Turtles and Batman, but like it actually makes sense. It'd be funny to see the
Joker to see the turtles and be like, too weird for me. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoy that there's no kind of like multiverse bullshit going on here. They just basically said we came from New York to
New York.
Gotham.
Don't you mean Metropolis? Dude,
they really don't mention it. They just say they travel from New York to Gotham to come visit him, and they're like amazed that there are like giant blimps flying around Gotham, but they don't say anything about like kind of how like going through a portal in order to get there. It's basically just like they rode a skateboard through the sewers to get there. But yeah, I loved it a lot. I think that everyone should check it out. I also watched Neo Tokyo, which Robert talked about last time, which is
nice.
Three animated movies, one of them by the guy who did Akira. And I honestly didn't love it too much. The first one has such weird animation style and like audio. Everything's kind of just weird about it and didn't really click with me. The second one has some pretty good animation, but like very little story, I feel like. And then the third one that the Akira director did, I thought was the most interesting of the group and pretty fun. But it's interesting to watch. I think give it a watch, but I don't know. It didn't blow me away. The third one was the best of the bunch, and the other two are kind of like, I don't get what they're trying to go with here. But the second one is about a racer who's kind of like going but like just driving super fast and I think it's taken over by his car and stuff. He's seeing ghosts drive by, so it encouraged me to watch Redline again, which was one that I put out as like a possible option for what we were watching today. But I watched Redline again, racing movie, great, it's awesome. I was wondering if the second watch is going to be just as good, but yeah, still fantastic. A lot of things that are right up my alley. If you like Akira, if you like F-Zero, if you like Mario Kart, if you like any anime, pretty much, I feel like a lot of people would like Redline. It's kind of over the top, but it's got like also just like weird and great world building. It's just a race that's taking place on a robo planet that's outlawed racing. And so like they're trying to kill everyone who's in the race, and everyone in the race is able to like kill each other and stuff like that, but they all just are just too good at racing. Anyways, it's really interesting. Probably the description is terrible for it.
I would love to see it on the big screen someday, but I really love Redline.
It's like Speed Racer on crack. But yeah, that's the last that I saw. How about you, Andrew?
I didn't watch any movies this week. So other than the main one we watched, but I have not watched any movies. So let's move on to the TV shows we've seen a segment.
TV shows we've seen.
We've seen.
Robert, what TV shows have you seen?
Not a lot since we last spoke. Just rewatching more Simpsons since my embarrassing loss on a trivia podcast where I biffed some Simpsons questions. In honor of the Academy Awards, I went back and watched the one where Springfield has a film festival.
Great episode.
And great episode where would they have a crossover with another show where you're like, you're pulling your collar and going, oh, these are usually kind of, you know, desperate. I don't really think this is good.
I smell a crappy cartoon crossover.
But it is very funny, even if you're not super familiar with the character. And then at the end, and if you ever want to guest on my show, I don't think we'll do that or whatever. really enjoyable, super quotable.
Any trivia notes about that episode you'd like to?
God help me. No, nothing that I think was a deal breaker for me in the trivia department. But
well, I mean, you know, it's the only episode of The Simpsons that Matt Groening took his name off the created by.
Wait, why?
Because he was so against them doing a crossover
incorporating
episode.
Oh, interesting.
It's either Matt Groening or no, I think it was Matt Groening. It's like he was so against them doing a crossover episode that he took his name off the episode. So like when the credits air, it like his name is not on the opening credits.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Well, that also includes the joke where Patty and Selma say, "Well, to increase tourism to Springfield, we should change our name from Springfield to Seinfeld." And then it does the worst like offbeat version of like the Seinfeld like kind of blink blonk, which is always, I mean, like, I know they can't do it too close to what it is, but like it's very funny to me that like it's like boom bugga bigga bloom blonk, and it's just
it's enough for you to recognize it's too off almost.
Yeah. It's like I know what you're doing, but it's frustrating that it can't be closer. But that's really all I've seen. Sorry to be a boring movies or TVs I've seen.
How dare you? You should have watched more.
Should have watched more. Well, we'll have Fallout coming out soon, and I hope. Well, actually, not super soon. A month maybe. But
you should have watched it already.
Yeah, I should have downloaded it all already. But
here's the trivia tidbit. Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, has heavily criticized the episode, feeling that it was just an advertisement for the critic. That people would incorrectly associate the show with him. When he unsuccessful in getting the program pulled, he had his name removed from the credits and went public with his concerns, openly criticizing James L. Brooks.
Harsh.
Yeah, really petty and fucking weird, but yeah.
Guess he hated the critic. He was a critic of the critic. Well, I've also watched only one thing. I watched the most recent season of What If.
Oh yeah, I haven't even started that.
It's not bad. I think that it's not for everybody, but I like the animation style. I thought some of them were interesting. I thought some of them were actually pretty good. And there's one that involves racing, which was another inspiration for
that was the cut episode from the first season also.
Why can't I think of
Zoe Saldana's
Gamora.
Character's name?
Gamora.
Gamora, thank you, sorry. She shows up in sort of the last couple episodes of the first season, and you're like, okay, there's this Gamora, but we didn't get the typical episode setting her up, and it would have been the Tony Stark stuck on Sakaar and that. So it's interesting that they kind of pulled it over for that. It's one of those things where it's like, just like the first season where I didn't love every episode, and then it ends up kind of becoming a bigger sort of continuation of all, you know, they can kind of combine a little bit by the end, but ultimately I liked it. It's just not, it had its kind of low points for me also. So,
But I dig the style. I think that they've captured a pretty good style, and when it hits sometimes it's not perfect, but I think it's kind of interesting to see some more things in there. In that, like, you know, a little bit off from what you've seen before. They don't have to worry too much about consistency, but sometimes they get into kind of like, you know, fan service kind of, hey, you've seen this before, here it comes again. But sometimes it's, you know, new and unique and, you know, a whole episode about just racing on Sakaar. It's pretty fun. Yeah. Andrew, what have you seen?
I found a copy of the Stella shorts on YouTube. And so I watched all 2 hours of these Stella shorts. And that was a really fun thing to revisit. Robert, I don't know if you've watched them all that recently.
When's the last time I actually put them all on? I mean, I'm familiar with them enough that I could probably like recite some of them to you, but it's been a minute, but I'm familiar.
I had seen the board one was on YouTube, and then like that led me to the full 2 hour thing. But the board one is the one with Sam Rockwell, where he's the pizza delivery guy with the fake teeth.
Which is, I believe, are his teeth from Green Mile.
Green Mile, yeah. But he's like,
and he's allowed to keep those teeth, and they're literally falling out.
He's trying to eat the pizza, and it keeps falling out. He's just like laughing on screen. Yeah, it's very funny. I mean, it's pretty rife with like them just grabbing tits and like, you know, like just assaulting people, but they also frequently are like, David is getting assaulted like every third episode in that show. So it's, you know, they give and they get, but it's, yeah, it's very funny to watch. It's also like, I think there's one that has Bradley Cooper and Julie Bowen way before they're like really famous. And like, it's really funny to watch now. And it's Julie Bowen as Mother Nature and then Bradley Cooper as the devil. What's your name? Bill. Beelzebub. Beelzebub. Beelzebub.
Does Stella, is that the one with the hanging owls? Or am I remembering that wrong?
Hanging owls.
Yeah, somebody trying to pretend they didn't say hanging out or something like that, and so they said they're hanging owls.
That sounds like something they do. It's not jogging a memory right now, but it definitely sounds like something they would try and do in an episode, but I saw
it somewhere and I can't remember
it. I mean, it would fit with what they do, so it would.
But you just watched all of them, right?
But there's like the Comedy Central show too also, so like,
oh okay,
yeah. But yeah, that was something fun to watch. I'm surprised it's still up on YouTube because of how much, like, every episode basically includes a dildo. And like, there's an episode where they go to the North Pole to hang out with Santa, and Mrs. Claus has a dick, and like, they service Mrs. Claus, and it's like, they're not even like pretending, like, it's just like they just do the full thing. And it's like, I know it's a fake penis, but like, they go to town on that thing and she's pretending like it's pleasurable for her. And so it's just like, it's right there on YouTube. So I'm surprised.
Right in your watch history.
Yeah, right in my watch
history. Right in my favorites for some reason.
Especially that, yeah, that
is,
it's like,
it is wild, and I can see why some folks wouldn't want to be like, I don't know if everyone needs to see me like gagging on a fucking cock.
Yeah.
In this. If it was like an Oscar winning movie, maybe. But in the Stella short, I'm not really fine with
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. But it was very funny. Something fun to rewatch because I hadn't seen them in. I think, Robert, you have them on DVD, and I think us living together was probably the last time I'd seen them. So it's been since like,
which, and I'm also, one of the reasons I bought it on DVD is because I'm sort of like, these violate multiple copyright issues, and they even say what's the wiffle ball one or whatever, where they're like, oh, thank you to blah
Paul,
blah blah for
Paul
using
Simon.
The song.
Yeah.
Paul Simon, it's like, they didn't ask. They did that as like a joke to be like, hey, thanks for letting us use your song. And it's like, they never asked.
And
him
it's also
to do
like,
that.
They also go as far as to say like, a huge inspiration for this, and thank you for helping us write it and all that stuff. It's just like,
and like, play, like, restart the song multiple times.
Yeah.
It's insane. So shocked it hasn't been pulled. And
there,
and you know,
there are even a couple episodes where I think they pull music from it. So the fact that it's not all blanked is pretty surprising, because there are a couple episodes where it's like, wow, they just were, this either got flagged or they were too aware that this song in particular would get them pulled. But yeah, there are a couple scenes. One in particular, Zach Orth is dancing and there's just no music to him dancing. But yeah, it was funny. Anyways, oh, Max, what are you gonna say?
I'm just gonna say, you have to catch it on Robert's DVDs if you want.
That's right.
To,
you have to go to
true
Robert's
experience.
House and yeah, watch the.
I
DVDs.
Still got them. If you need them.
All right, guys, let's move on to the movie we all watched for this week. The third movie in a trilogy, and maybe a quadrilogy, if you count the animated one that sort of continues later. But anyways, we watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. But you better promise me I'll be back in time. We watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 from 1993. I don't know that the cast is worth reading off, but if you'd like
I
can.
Just Donatello, right?
Just Donatello. So Donatello.
And Casey Jones is the
Casey
same guy.
Jones.
Elias Koteas. Yeah, I can't forget
Elias
him.
Elias Koteas, Paige Turco, and, you know.
Probably
other...
a white guy as Splinter, I'm going to guess.
Would you, so this is not readily available on any streamer. You can rent it on any of the rental platforms.
Would you, I did like a free streaming one with a bunch of commercials in between, and man, it made it even worse that I had to wait to catch up to.
I watched it on DVD. Look at that.
Yeah,
beautiful cover. What would you guys recommend people watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3? Either for rent or to uncover their DVD copies in a box somewhere?
No. No, I wouldn't recommend it. I think that some people feel about... I think there's a lot of nostalgia for Secret of the Ooze, but I think it is an inferior film to the first movie, which has like a lot of... So a surprising amount of like darkness, mm-hmm. you know, to it, and some and heart, and the costumes look great. But my number two, they're not allowed to use their weapons anymore. There's sort of this actual shift of like, oh, actually, for some reason, we don't want kids to see us using, you know, scythes and swords and stuff. Really could have fixed it all if they just made the Foot Clan robots, in my opinion. But in this one, they have shifted to a different style of suit, which don't. The overall suit doesn't look horrible. I think the faces look really bad. I think the animatronics on the mouth are awful. Mm-hmm. It's just not living up anywhere to the previous entries. So that would be a non-recommendation for me.
But. Max, what about you?
I've avoided watching this movie since I was a kid and saw it in 93. And I thought it was so bad and really didn't live up to the other Turtles movies. But like watching it again, I don't hate it as much as I did as a kid. I understand that it's not as good as the other Turtle movies, but I'd say it's worth another watch. Like give it a little shot. It's mm-hmm. not perfect, but it's got some moments and it's fun enough. That's what I think. How about you, Andrew?
I'm kind of with you, Max. Like I've like in my life been on a roller coaster journey of this one. When I was a kid, I fucking loved this. This was my favorite one when I was a kid. Like a kid, I thought this was my favorite one. And then as I got older, I was like, God, this one really stinks. It sucks. It's bad. It looks bad. And then watching it today, I wasn't in love with it, but I was like, it's a silly kids movie. And I think like it accomplishes that aspect pretty well. And like, it's not good, but I was like so Robert, you talked about like pacing issues with this movie earlier. And I think in the first 25 minutes, I felt like I'd watched 2 hours, but then the next hour went by so fast. So like, I agree with you when the movie started and like, you know, like they're kind of like setting up what's going to happen. I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, is this still going on? And then
were you holding a scepter when these time shifts were happening to you?
You're right. I was a scepter.
I love the convenience of like they swap clothes too,
but not items. They swap clothes, but not items.
Like the headphones go, but your leather jacket doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like that they say the equal weight. Everything has to be equal weight, and then they found some people that weighed as much as these like giant shells.
At Kappa, not turtles.
Yeah. I also I did think it was really funny that like April O'Neil just like went to a swap meet and just like picked up a thing that she didn't have any like real interest in. She was like, and then I got this thing. I don't know, it seems weird. And then like it turns out to be this like thing that transports them back in time. The premise is obviously stupid, but like I don't know, I agree with you, Max. I kind of had fun watching it.
There are certainly some like points against it where like I understand why kids would be a bit upset. Like the outfits, they do introduce these like giant spots on them for some reason. They look like way, if they have spots or coloration, it's like way more natural in the other ones. These are just
They look like liver spots. Like it looks like
everything looks more. Everything to me looks more like a theme park / Chuck E. Cheese animatronic versus like a suit made for a movie.
Like the eyeballs are, I think they can blink and everything.
They're bouncing out. The lips go.
Yeah,
they go like, "Hey, April, what are you doing?" And it's just like it's just out of control. And it was Jim Henson versus this other company, so I understand the drop in quality. And look, that shouldn't be. That's my own personal thing, because I advocate for practical effects. I would always rather see the, like, I think the actual, like I said, the overall suit, like the body, I think look pretty good. They're moving. They do the fucking splits in them. They're doing all sorts of shit. I'm like, okay, these are working. Like, these are practical suits they're moving around in. I just think the the heads and that stuff, which you're trying to evoke some emotion, especially in that first movie where it's like really dark. It really works because I feel like it's subtle. There's a lot of like nuance to the animation and stuff. They did a really great job. And this wasn't, and this is also a much less dark version. I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's a goofier, more for kids version.
I know you're like saying dark is in like darker themes, but part of me wondered if the lighting had something to do with it, because it seemed like
it's also, this... I mean, cinematographically. Cinematography in the first movie is it's got Raph in the bathtub and April's drawing him. There's shadow. There's the blue campfire at one point where they commune with Splinter. There's a little more going behind it, I would say, in that first one. So I can't fully put it, that's not the fault of this movie, but I just think things are working better in its favor in that one.
Yeah. And I definitely noticed what you're talking about with the mouth. It seems like they are really spring loaded. So when they open up, the whole face shakes, and when they close, the whole face shakes a bit. Like everything's just kind of snapping into place rather than, you know, moving fluidly like a face would.
It's also interesting to me that this movie came out in 93. So these movies came out in 90, 91, and 93. So technically, this movie had the longest buildup to it of the sequels. But it feels like this was the quickest turnaround. Like, it just was like, well, what do we do? Like, the turtles have to, like, do something. Put them in feudal Japan. And it's just like, okay. Like, you know, I like that aspect of it. It's fun to put them in a different locale because, like, how much can you do in New York again? You know, I guess you could put them in Gotham.
Yeah, that works.
I mean, here's my counterpoint to that. Turtles are always fish out of water because even though they know New York, they are always like outsiders to New Yorkers. They're not supposed to be seen. They can show up in any location in New York or in the, I'll give them the greater United States. They cannot go abroad. No. But all I'm saying is that like they're built in to be characters, in my opinion, that are always outside of, you know, the normality of a situation, which I think is a good thing to have built in. It makes for interesting storylines. It makes sense that they're ninjas and they go back to a time of ninjas. No. Oh, samurai, I guess. Oh, no, I guess I should have done ninjas anyway. But I just think that like, it's not interesting. I just think it could have been handled better. And it's also funny to me that like you have a rogues gallery of crazy turtle villains and you end up getting Walker, now, this original villain who is just this random dude.
May I say, because you mentioned earlier that they sort of omitted their weapons at a certain point.
Yes, in the sequel, I believe there's
a reason why, and that's because in Britain nunchucks are forbidden.
Yes.
And so that is primarily why they have been absent from these movies. So I wonder if there's a little bit of New Line Cinema being like, you know what? The fucking villain is a British guy.
That's really funny.
Yeah. It's...
But they still like have like they're still swinging their like weapons around and stuff like
did
that.
I'm trying to think back. Did they ever swing the nunchucks around? They swung them around, but did they ever use them as weapons?
He used it as a deflector. Once and like okay. I think, but I don't think he
and
ever
you,
hit
and then he
of
lost
them.
If you rewatch that, oh sorry, go ahead.
The thing that Andrew was talking about, like they also outlawed the term ninja, so they're called the Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles in Britain. And
good
then
Lord,
like,
Britain, what are we doing?
They had to reanimate all of the nunchucks in season one. So like Michelangelo uses a yo-yo looking thing. It's like a grappling hook on a string, like a little turtle shell. And even in the American versions, in all of the seasons, I think beyond season one, he uses that.
Why nunchucks and not like samurai swords, like katanas that can like cut someone in half? Like I don't get it.
Question. Like next to Donatello's is probably the least lethal.
Yeah, goddamn, like a stick. Like most lads in Britain could pick one up and they would just have a bow staff. Technically.
But do not ever break that in half and connect it with a chain.
No, don't. I understand that these are all dangerous like weapons that I'm sure like were, you know, illegally sold and people were, you know, obsessed with that. Like it'd be cool to have scythe, it'd be cool to have katanas, but like you can't reasonably have those. But like it just feels like an overstep to be like, we simply can't let kids know that nunchucks exist.
Right.
Anyway, we're gonna go back to feudal Japan. I hope there's no weird weapons back there.
Guns.
Yeah, there's multiple parts where like, oh no, guns.
Like, I did
to block with two swords.
But there is like a part where the walker shows up with guns, and then like I forget what one of them says, but it's like, oh no, guns, party's over, dude. And it's just like, this must have been a scene filmed for like the, you know, like an anti-gun ad from like 1993. Even the turtles hate guns.
Yeah, they're all like the losers don't use drugs and stuff like that, but they do use nunchucks. Weird. Those are banned in Britain, Michelangelo. You're canceled.
I do want to get this line out because you mentioned something about like the best version of Donatello. There's a line towards the end when they're thinking about going back to their modern times, and you know, Mikey and Raph are thinking about staying, and Donatello's like, I have to go back. I can't exist without microchips. I was just like, that was that was the thing that they were like, let's get across that Donatello's a fucking nerd. Like, it can't be computers, can't be microchips.
Microchips.
Yeah.
I mean, he's into them. I understand it. Microchips are great. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I also think like, I think Splinter looks awful in this. Like I was ragging a bit on the turtles, and I don't like the mouth movement, but I don't think it's as egregious as Splinter looks like a rock of fire explosion. Like,
yeah, I think
welcome to Splinters. Like it's bad.
I think there was only half a Splinter puppet too, because he's always behind a table.
He's like in a window.
Yeah. And he's in like three scenes.
So when April, who, by the way, they changed the actress. I don't know if we mentioned this already.
She's the same one from 2, but they changed her from 1 to 2.
Oh, okay. I guess I forgot. I was curious.
Do your fucking homework, man. You suggested this movie.
My bad. But yeah, she just gets to Japan, maybe gets thrown into a jail and sees a rat there. And she's like... Oh, because she sees Casey Jones.
She sees, she sees like, what's his Casey name? Jones. Will or Wick?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Whatever.
But she's like, Casey? And then he just looks at her like, and then she's like, I guess not. And then it must be an ancestor that looks exactly like him, because that's how ancestors work.
And then, they never like establish.
No, they don't. They don't.
It's
and then,
just an Italian.
But yeah, I love that. Looks at the rat and goes, you look familiar too. Familiar. Then transition to the scariest looking animatronic.
Yeah, I think that was when Splinter looked the worst. When you compare him to a real rat, and you're like, that rat's pretty cute. And then it like
the scepter must have sent them. Yeah, actually, I shouldn't do the voice, but
yeah, the voice is really terrible in this one.
I also
not that it isn't. Well, sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
I was gonna say, lucky for everybody in this movie that every single character, if they do speak Japanese, they also speak very fluent English.
Yes,
I didn't. Was there like a reason for that? Where she was like. I thought there was going to be a big problem where it's like, well, you know, she's going to have like an intermediary to kind of communicate. The like Lord, she's like, hey, by the way, like I don't belong to her. And he's like, what did you do with my son, devil? Like, you know, witch. And it's like, wait, you do speak like
it's funny
lots of English.
Even when he's like giving commands to his army, he's like, let's do this in English this time.
He's like, I know some of you are learning English, so let's practice.
Yeah. Give me your report. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
One of the reasons
Babbel.com/turtles if you want to learn English in Japan too. Babbel.com/turtles.
There are points. I think the like main person in Japan, I forget her name, but the one who's like leading the revolution. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's played by a Japanese person, but she's saying lines in Japanese. Because at first I thought when they go to Japan, they're just kind of yelling things that are like, I feel like they just vaguely sound Japanese, right? Like not real Japanese. But throughout, like several characters are speaking legitimate Japanese. And she's one of those people who I don't think like Japanese is her native language, but she was speaking Japanese. So it's weird that they're like going through that and they're like willing to have people speak Japanese or even like maybe learn Japanese for the movie. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know her history. I just know that her like that... It didn't sound like her native language was Japanese.
Are you talking about the like the princess like Mitsu or the okay
Mitsu. But yeah, I just thought that was interesting because at first it seemed like they were just yelling at the castle. They were just yelling out commands that weren't anything in Japanese. But I forgot to mention, this is what I was starting to say when I got sidetracked. I remembered, like, the reason I didn't go back and watch this is how bad it looked when Shredder, I thought, fell from the cliff into the water. I was like, I remember that looking
oh my
so
God.
Terrible, so fake, but it Shredder. Wasn't even Shredder. It
it's
wasn't
Walker.
Shredder at all.
Yeah, it's the ultimate
Walker.
Bad guy. Walker.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's like he's falling and it's like green screen, like, like falling. And then it like, he hits the water and it just like cuts away. It's like the graphic like disappears. There's not like a splash effect. It's just like, he's exactly. just like gone. Like it's
but
bad.
Did you also notice
stated that? On that, I just like remember that from when I.
But
was
I mean,
kid, I was like,
what do you expect from like a great villain like Walker that you know that,
he could
that we've read about for years in the comics.
I also
didn't he go on to become a Texas Ranger.
I was fixated on how out of their way they went to make it as least violent as possible because they launch a flaming ball at him, but it hits a thing next to him that knocks him into the water. So it's like they didn't even have the cannonball like hit him. It just happens to hit the thing next to him that sort of Rube Goldberg knocks him into the water. And I just
in my Turtles movies, I like when none of the Turtles or main characters defeat the villain.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Yeah.
I like when the turncoat ancestor of Casey Jones does it.
I do have a logistics question for the end of the movie.
A logistics, okay.
So Mikey and Raph want to stay because they're just like, hey, you know, like
they're assholes.
We don't
they're
really
like,
fit
hey, let's
into...
fuck up time forever.
Yeah, let's fuck up time. But was Mikey looking to smash?
Yes.
Me too. Like,
yes.
Was it just like,
yes.
Like he just was like, I'm catching a vibe here.
Yeah.
And like, cause I truly, to be honest with you,
I feel like you're into Kappa's.
yeah. I just wasn't. I guess I wasn't paying that close of attention. I never caught a vibe between the two of them. And it was just like at the end, he was like, look, I'm catching something here and I'm going to stay. I'm going to abandon my brothers, abandon my city, abandon pizza. He's abandoning pizza.
Yeah. And I think it's
but
just
or
one...
he could invent pizza.
There you go. Oh, he tried. He had a conversation with her where I feel like he was feeling it and she definitely wasn't.
Right.
Like, she was into the guy that
he's like, hey, you're a monster freak though. So yeah.
It was also, weird to me that Mikey's the one who saves the kid from the burning house, but he ends up like loving Raph.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's cool, but rude. So that kind of makes sense.
He wasn't even the one to do CPR, right? That was Leo.
Yeah.
Leo
did CPR,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, like
so he's like kind of like I don't really care about the people that actually saved me.
Yeah, Raph was.
Oh, did you also catch when he runs out of the burning building? He goes, "Eat your heart out, Kurt Russell," which is a reference to Backdraft.
Backdraft, yeah,
which came out you know a couple years before this. And then like all the people in the village are like, "Not only can we not understand you because you're speaking English, but huh?
Yeah, this movie won't come out for hundreds of years for us."
I do like the like Raph's kind of. Arc here where he finally gets outside of New York City and
I do
learns
like
how
that
to
April
take
also
easy.
Got him a fedora like the incel he is.
was that a reference to his like costume for...
he has like kind of the trench coat and hat in the first one, so I in my opinion that was sort of like she's getting him a new fedora but also like it feels like he's like the angry incel so
yeah but I like that he kind of was able to chill out and just hang out with some kids and have some fun in ancient Japan here. This was a missed opportunity though, right? For Usagi Yojimbo
to make a better movie. Oh, sorry. What?
yeah. They could have done it that.
Yeah.
They could
I
have
agree
also
with that.
Made the same worst movie, but with a rabbit samurai.
Yeah.
Like why not do that?
Ooh, that would be mind blowing. That would be like nowadays, that would be like the end credit scene where like,
yeah,
it's a cliffhanger. One of them does get stuck. Like Mikey does get stuck instead of getting back.
Yeah.
And then also you go, okay, shit. Well, we have to go back to get Mikey in the next movie. And then, cut to credit scene.
With the way the other furred creature looks in this one, we probably dodged a bullet.
That's a good
getting,
point.
Yeah.
That's
like
a good point.
By,
true. Well, I know you guys are standing this movie more than I am. You guys gotta love that ending with Splinter and the Elvis song, right?
I didn't stick around for that. I just, when the movie ended for me. I did not.
What are you talking about?
You got the DVD. You gotta go back and check it out.
All right.
This was clearly a like they were trying to jump upon, because at this point, like, Turtles in Time is like a hit video game. Like, this is purely because Turtles in Time, which came out, I think, 2 years before this, was like a big hit.
And I looked up a video kind of about the history of this, and there was sort of like a planned three-prong attack of this, where there was one of the comics had a storyline where they go back in time. The television show had one where they go back to feudal Japan and have to help out. And then they were like, all right. And then the movie comes out and we're going to have the full trilogy of time travels to feudal Japan. And it bombed. This wasn't even called Turtles in Time when it released. It was just TMNT 3 or whatever. Which I think that's maybe why it didn't do well.
Just probably. You're probably right.
Yeah. No, I just think it's an interesting piece of kind of, it's weird to have, you know, this huge property that I think a lot of the original fans of were falling off and getting too old for, and just feels like weird timing, weird story.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the budget getting slashed, not being able to use Henson Workshop was a detriment. It really needed, for me, it needed a lot more juice.
Yeah. And to help Robert's argument, one of the creators hates this movie. One of the creators of the Turtles hates this movie.
Eastman or Laird? Or
I think
who?
It's Laird.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't blame him.
Is the other one into it?
You're super into it.
Yeah, the other one is not friends with the other one now because of it.
So when the honor guard, quick question, see if you guys know. When the honor guard goes back to or goes to the future to New York and learns
present
about, yeah present well present of 93
present for them
yeah
our past
and they're learning about hockey, are they wearing a Seattle jersey?
Oh, was one of them?
I thought so, but I could
because
be
we have
I
like
really
the,
know my...
I went to my you know what I went to my first professional hockey game last night as of this recording.
Wow.
Is it the
Seattle Kraken? And they do have the Kraken jersey in style of our original hockey team. But what were those called?
The Metropolitans
or something?
Metropolitans.
Yeah. Metropolitans. And so fun to have that in that style. But now I'm trying to think if one of them had... That would be wild. I feel like it would have had to have been like an old New York team or something, right?
I don't know, because it has the like kind of the same way our Seahawks logo was for a while, where you know it's based on the like Native American... drawings, carvings, totem style.
Interesting. I don't know,
we'll look that up.
we'll look it up,
and
we'll
update you all on the next episode for sure.
Any final thoughts on the movie before we head out?
I'm sorry to be down on it. It's a movie I was a big turtle guy when I was a kid, and I love that. And
what is your,
Ghostbusters
what is your,
and all.
What is your official ranking of the three movies?
One, two, three. One, two, three. I think there's a lot of charming stuff in the second one, but it is, you can see the corporate sort of seeping into it as far as like, be goofier. Don't be, you know, you can't use your sword. You know, you can't be as dark. You can't be as sort of, you know, serious. And it's shocking to me that the first one came out the way it did.
Yeah.
Because it really is like, if you were a fan of the cartoon and watched that movie, I think as a kid you were still like into it, but it was surprising because it was much more mature than you would ever expect. For better or for worse, I think it's fun when some of those, you know, old, you know, movies from our youth have that twinge of seriousness and that kind of dark streak through them. That's great stuff. So I appreciate some of the stuff in number two, but it's sillier. It's more of a music video. It's, you know, it is what it is. And then this one just feels more cash grabby, and it's a shame because it sounds like there maybe was stuff behind the scenes to try and make it a better than it turned out to be. But I don't know, just a frustrating one for me. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think also you couldn't have one of the villains teleport back. You couldn't have one of the weird mutant villains be like a crazy, I don't know. I think like one more crazy monster would have been gone a long way for me, but
yeah. Max.
Yeah. I'm glad I went back and watched it, 'cause I remembered it being way worse, and it's not quite so bad, but it certainly could have been better. But I mean, you can't win them all. And I think in terms of a full-on series, Turtles has done better than most.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like pretty more hits than misses.
Yeah. Eastman, by the way, said first is the best one, second is the worst one, and this one's in between. So, yeah.
I wonder if that just has to do with like the liberties they took with some of the, because I guess you could argue that this one is like, it's less steeped in some of the like cartoon and comic lore. Mm-hmm. So there's like less, it's a more of an original story, at least in that sense. So I think like less to mess up and maybe piss the original creators off with.
Sure.
Whereas two is like Toka and Razor are like weird babies that you don't know what they're doing and they're attacking the turtles. And I think in the comics are a bit different. And so I could see where that's maybe more offensive to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time.
Cowabunga.
Bye.